Hi, everybody, and welcome to Kamloops Alliance Church Online. It's great to have you. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here, so if you're checking us out, really glad that you're tuning in. Just before we get into the message, just a few housekeeping things. First thing is our church is on mission. We have not paused at all. We're not hunkering down waiting for this all to pass. And so in that way, we've invited a bunch of new members into our church. And so welcome to the family. We want to show you those names and kind of just celebrate the fact that people are saying yes. So to be a member just is the agreement that this is my church. I agree with its mission, vision, values, and future. So thanks for being a part of that. Secondly, some of you have been asking, where's our finances at? What does that look like? If we were to be gathering physically every weekend, we would have kind of that in the bulletin or in our connector, that update. We don't have that right now. So on our website, under the resource section, there's something called a financial update that will be updated every week so that you could be tracking with us. Overall, awesome. Thank you. We're doing really, really well financially. Thank you for your continued generosity. We're going to continue our sermon series, Disruptive Witness, thinking about how we can disrupt kind of the normal patterns and default mechanisms and responses of our world. I just finished a book called Invitation to a Journey by Robert Mulholland. He defines spiritual formation or discipleship of this, just like this. It's the process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. I love that. The process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. So it's four things. It's a process. It's not an overnight thing. It's to be formed. It's change. Into what image? Into the image of Christ. And finally, for the sake of others. All of this is for the sake of others. So in the chapter, one of his chapters, he tells a story of a group of people that lived close to a very treacherous coastline. Ships would come and they would be dashed against the rocks and people would need rescuing. And so these people formed what was called the Rescue Society. And they risked their own lives to be a part of this rescue for other people. As that first generation of Rescue Society members left, a new group came on. And this new group had a different focus. Their focus was more about the technique of rescuing or the better equipment or the different types of equipment you can have to rescue. And so their focus changed. It was at yet another one of their meetings about the proper techniques of rescuing when a boat was dashed against the rocks and hundreds of people died. See, the reality was that the society existed for its own sake and not for the sake of others. And if we're not careful in the church, we can be the same type of place. That God's plan for us, the process of being formed in the image of Christ for the sake of others. And so that's what it means this week, this weekend, to be a disruptive witness is to embrace mission, self-forgetfulness, to embrace the mission that God has us on. And so I just want to be careful though, because I know people are struggling right now, and the thought of other people is not in your mind at all because of financial stressors or relational stressors in your life. So I want to be really, really careful. But I also want to encourage us to remember the words of Jesus. He says, if you want to find your life, you lose it for others. So that's the invitation for us. To do that, we're going to be looking in John's Gospel in John chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, grab those as we continue to look at, as we did last weekend on Easter weekend, Jesus disrupting the disciples' fear. So after that interaction, John chapter 20, is your Bibles open? John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "Peace be with you," Jesus says. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is a great commission in John's Gospel. So what we're going to see this weekend is sent Jesus, sent church, sent disciple. We're going to start with God, and then the church, and then you and I. So here we go. As I just mentioned, John chapter 20, 21 is John's, in the Gospel of John, his great commission, saying, "Go, I am sending you." And what you see here is a Trinitarian commissioning. You have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all involved in this mission. And so the first thing that we have to understand is that God is a missionary God. He is on mission for the sake of others. That God doesn't exist for himself, not glory for himself, or in the sense of he wants to bless and love other people. God is, of course, glorious in and of himself. And so here we see the commissioning of the disciples. The Father sends, Jesus saves, and the Spirit empowers. All the way through the Old Testament, Father, Son, and Spirit, their response to humanity's rebellion and turning away is not a rejection, but a pursuit of them. Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham and says, I'm going to give you land, people, and blessing. And all of the Old Testament is God giving Abraham and the nation of Israel those promises, land, people, and blessing. And through Israel, the point of Israel was to share the generosity and the presence of God for the sake of the nations. But there was a problem that humanity was corrupt because of sin. So yes, they existed for the sake of others, but if you read the Old Testament, they existed for themselves. They were unable to deliver on the mandate and the commission that God had for them. And so in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, and what we celebrate at Christmas is that the Father sends the Son, Jesus, to save. So John chapter 1:18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So Christianity's answer to what is God like is you look at Jesus, that the Father, a missionary God, the Father has sent the Son to redeem and to restore fallen humanity, corrupt nature, sin, selfishness, greed, injustice, lust, rape, all of those things to save us from ourselves. So John chapter 1:18 leads to John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, that he sent Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. John 3:16 leads to John 14:6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And John chapter 14:6 leads to John 19:20, where Jesus, to show himself as God, sacrifices himself in love for the sake of others. John chapter 20, where we're reading right now, is the commissioning post-resurrection. Sin has been forgiven. The disciples now are sent on a mission that the Father sends, Jesus saves, and the Spirit of God empowers. And so in John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, receive the Holy Spirit. That for those of us now who believe in the name of Jesus, we are given this mission. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And we don't do it by our own strength or in our own power. That we receive the Spirit of Jesus himself to empower us to become like little Christs now in our world, in our families, in our workplaces, wherever we find ourselves. That folks, first and foremost, God is a missionary God. He exists to bless and to share his life with other people. And if we don't understand that at our heart, we will never be sent ourselves. We will never understand the lengths and depths and heights and depth of the love of God in Christ, that he has come on a mission to save you. So, missionary God, he sent Jesus. Now, sent church. So here in John chapter 20, we have 10 disciples. Thomas isn't there, so maybe 11 disciples. And they're now sent out to the world. And these Jewish teenagers do exactly that. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit for mission and go out and change the world. Lose their lives for the sake of the mission of Jesus. So, 11 disciples, by the end of, or up to Pentecost, 40 days later, there's 120 disciples. By Acts chapter 4, there's 5,000 disciples. By the end of the first century, in 100 AD, there's 25,000 disciples. Rodney Stark, a Christian historian, says that by the beginning of the fourth century, there is between 5 and 7 million followers of Jesus. Exponential growth. How did it happen? Because Jesus sent his church, which isn't a building. It's a people. It's disciples on mission. And so here in my home, right now in Kamloops, I am telling you about the message of Jesus. And Kamloops Alliance has been brought up into this story that we have been sent as a church to this place at this time. So let me tell you about our history as a church. 1944, 76 years ago, the Gospel Lighthouse was planted on the corner of First and Victoria. That was the first iteration of what we know of our church 76 years ago. In 1945, the church relocated to 702 Columbia Street. And so for 76 years ago, there was a group of people that said, people need to know about Jesus here in Kamloops. And we started. So for 76 years, we have said yes to being a sent church on a mission for the sake of others in our community. And so for 76 years, it's been beautiful. Not always pretty, but beautiful. And I'm so, so glad to be a part of a church that exists for other people. We don't want to be inward. We want to share our lives, our story, our resources with people. We are not a perfect church at all. But we in our city are well known to be generous and to be positive towards our community. So in 1945, at 702 Columbia Street, right after the Second World War, there's somebody who came into the church who was searching, wanted to know more about Jesus. So through the ministry of our church, by that time was a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, they saw their first person come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. One person converted to Christianity in 1945, and it was a huge moment of celebration for the church. Of course, as the good old gospel message was still powerful to save in 1945. So last weekend, because of last weekend, because of this time, Easter weekend, folks, I am now able to put on my resume tele-evangelist, all right? Because last weekend, I stood here and gave a gospel call and said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, here's what it looks like. Here's a prayer of commitment. And it was weird. I get it. I don't know how comfortable I am to be known as a televangelist. You know, if I start bringing doilies here and selling doilies and holy water, you know, you should probably start to turn me off. But it was amazing because people responded. And so last week, because of Kamloops Alliance Church and the gospel of Jesus, two people last week committed their lives to Jesus for the first time. Our team has followed up with them this week. And there were more who texted and saying, I am searching. So our church has been on mission, sent to proclaim the message of Jesus. In 1945, it started, and in 2020, it is still happening. Praise be to God. 1976 was a hard year for the history of our church. Really difficult year. Not all of our history has been beautiful. 1976, the church that was built on our current location burned to the ground. Electrical shortages, they figure. Burned to the ground. There were people in the congregation in our city who thought, well, maybe this is the end. Maybe they should just kind of shut everything down and, you know, we had a good run. I've talked with some of you who were at our church in that time. Been beautiful to hear the resolve of absolutely not. Not on our watch. We have a mission for our city. We have a story to tell, a love to demonstrate. And so for that season, Kamloops Alliance Church met at the Overlander Elementary, setting up chairs in a gymnasium. Hard work, but worthwhile work, because there was a resolve to say, you know what? We still have a mission. So I believe right now in 2020, we're living in unprecedented times. There hasn't been a situation like this in the world in 100 years, a pandemic like this in 100 years. And I believe firmly that 30, 40, 50 years from now, there's going to be another lead pastor at Kamloops Alliance Church, and this moment is going to be recorded as what did Kamloops Alliance do during COVID-19, during a global crisis? And I believe it is this time where we more than ever need to put our stake in the ground and say, we are going to be a missional church. We are going to be a sent church for the sake of others, because this is the mission that Jesus has us on. And it's worthwhile to do it. So right when I started here, we kind of rearticulated our mission, our vision, our values, and we just thought about, you know, what does it look like? What are the habits or actions of discipleship? And we just thought there's four things that a disciple does. They love, they gather, they practice, and they go on mission. So this is essential to who we are, that we have to be a going people. So in order to be that type of people, I want to ask and answer some questions for us about our disciple, about being a going church, about being a sent church. What does that practically look like? Here's a question I think we need to ask. Are the pastors celebrities or are they servants? Like, do they get the best parking spot? Or are they the chief servants of the people and the mission? And folks, at KAC, the pastors, me, I am the chief servant of our mission. My job is to equip and release you for ministry. Another question we have to ask are, do we refer to people as volunteers or leaders? See, a volunteer is given a task. A leader is given responsibility. And we want to give people responsibility to go out and to own the mission of our church in unique ways. A third question we have to ask and answer is there a calling to ministry or are we all called? See, oftentimes we think, well, pastors have a calling to ministry. And yeah, I do have a unique calling to ministry. But folks, to think that everybody isn't called into ministry is absolutely wrong. If you follow Jesus, you may not have a calling to vocational ministry, but you are called to ministry. 100%. You all are placed in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your families for a reason, that you have gifts and you have influence right now that I don't have. And you are absolutely called to this. So one of the things that I hope returns in the fall is football. And football is beautiful because it's a team sport. So what you have in football is a quarterback. He has the other 10 players, and the quarterback calls a play, and then the team goes into their formation, and then they execute the play. How silly would it be if the quarterback called the play, and the players just stood in the huddle and said, oh, that's a great play. What a great play caller, but never executed the play. You wouldn't have a football game. And oftentimes that's how we view church. That church is this kind of weekly huddle that we get into, and then I come as a quarterback, as the leader here, and I call the play. And then you say, oh, that's a great play. Wow, I love the way that he calls plays. It's beautiful. Folks, the point of me calling the play is that it gets executed. And that's where we all have to do this together, that we're all called into ministry. The fourth question is it missions? Do we have a missions department, or is the church a mission? And folks, the church is a mission. I don't think it's helpful when we silo that out, that there is a missions department. And when we think about that, it's like, you know, there's global missions, and then there's kind of the other ministries. Folks, all of what we do is mission. There is no silo of one is a missions department. And no, that's not how it works. Craig Van Gelder, who's a seminarian, author, professor, he has a great quote. I love this quote. He says, "It is not the church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission that has a church in the world. God is on the move and the church is always catching up with him. We join his mission." It's not missions. We all have mission. That's why the church exists. So, sent Jesus into sent church, and now sent disciple. A sent disciple. What are the ways that you and I, right now in the midst of a global pandemic, can engage in mission? Well, first, I think it's beautiful that the church isn't canceled. I mean, sure, our weekly gatherings are canceled, but the church has actually been deployed. Deployed. You have been deployed wherever you are to be a little Christ in your family, in your neighborhood, right now. So, of course, as a church, we want to engage in formal mission activity, and we have, you know, missions departments, and we're calling people right now. But I just want to commission us as a church to embrace this opportunity. So I want to just go over a few ways that you can be sent right now as a disciple. The first is to be sent home. To be sent home. Yeah, it's hard. I'm struggling. Honestly, I find it difficult. I just want my normal life back. But Romans 13 casts a very strong vision about what it looks like to be a responsible Christian in our cities right now. And I think what it means is to obey our government. And so that's the first way, is obey. Be sent home. Do our part well in flattening this curve to make sure that the most vulnerable in our society are healthy. That's the first one, to be sent home. Secondly, we're sent to care. We're to care for the people in our sphere of influence. It is impossible. And we are phoning people. We want to do everything we can as a church. We're trying to be innovative right now. But it is impossible for us to care for every single person in our church and our city. Absolutely impossible. So we want to release you to do that. Pick up the phone. Call a senior in our church. Call a member of your life group. Host your life group online. Whatever it costs. Go mow a lawn. Make a meal for your neighbor. This is an opportunity to knock on a neighbor's door and leave something there with a note to say, we love you. We're thinking of you. We're praying for you in this time. That now is a time where kindness and self-forgetfulness speak volumes to the difference that Jesus makes. Sent home, sent to care, sent to invite. Last weekend, we saw thousands of people, more so than ever, engage with our weekend services. The message of Jesus. And I just think now is a time where you can be inviting people, sending them a link, inviting them right now, hosting a watch party on Facebook, whatever that looks like. People are searching right now for certainty and for hope. And Jesus is the one that offers that now and for eternity. You're sent to invite people. Fifthly, sent home, sent to care, sent to invite. Fourthly, we're sent to love. Love those people who are closest to us, which probably means your family. And when families are in close quarters, we run into each other. Now, don't be looking at your family members right now, you know, giving your spouse a nudge, like you need to be paying attention to Pastor Chris because now he's going to talk to you about what a, you know, a jerk you are or whatever. Now's not the time to be doing that. But we are called to love the people closest to us right now. Some of us parents, we're now all of a sudden teachers. We're homeschoolers now. We have kids around all the time. Now is the time that we can be showing our kids the difference that Jesus is making in our lives, bringing a peace and bringing a love, bringing a self-sacrifice in unique ways. I read this a little while ago about what a homeschooler said when asked, hey, what do you do? You know, because you think, oh, I'm a CEO, or I'm an accountant, or I'm all this. So a homeschooler, when asked, what do you do? This was their response. They said, I am socializing four Homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments in the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. And what do you do? Isn't that brilliant? Like, I love it that it's elevating the call of loving your family really well, loving your kids really well right now. So we're called to love our kids. We're also called to love our spouses, for those of us who are married. And right now, it is difficult with all the different stressors, proximity. So this week, I interviewed Joan Schultz. She's a registered psychologist, been working and practicing for 30 years in marriages and families. We had an absolutely phenomenal, rich conversation about marriage and the pandemic. What are some signs that your marriage is in trouble? What are some best practices that you can do right now to start to bring health to your marriage again? Download that podcast. It's going to launch on Wednesday, and it will help you, friends. It will help you. So sent home, sent to care, sent to invite, sent to love, sent to pray. We want to be a praying church in this time. You can be praying for your neighbors, praying for your family, praying for yourself, that you would know Jesus in more intimate ways. We're hosting Revive. Revive is our normal once a month, monthly gathering. We obviously can't do that now. But we are going to have Revive online this weekend on Sunday evening. Join in with us on Facebook Live and participate as we pray together. The last one is that we're sent to tell our stories. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives this word when it comes to our ministry of reconciliation or the gospel message of Jesus. It gives us this title of ambassador. An ambassador's job was to proclaim good news to people. That's what we want to do, to be proclaimers, to tell our stories. And so an initiative that we're launching this weekend is we want to hear those stories. We don't have those touch points in the foyer. We don't have our physical gatherings of our life groups right now. So we want to hear from you, what is Jesus doing in your life? And so we want you to upload, to take a video on your device and upload it and email it to us. And we want you to answer one or two things. We're not looking for sermons here, folks. We're looking for, 30 seconds to a minute and a half. And we want you to tell us, what is Jesus doing in your life? Jesus is working in my life in this way. And you can answer that question. And then you can answer, I am making Jesus known by loving my kids and teaching them about Jesus. I'm making Jesus known to my spouses. We're opening up the Bible for the first time in our marriage. I'm making Jesus known by mowing a lawn. I'm making Jesus known by phoning the same three or four people who are single or seniors that need love and attention right now. We want to hear those stories. So take a video, 30 seconds to a minute and a half long. Upload it and send it to the link to us, whatever way you want to get it to us, to my story at canloopsalliance.com. And we want to hear those stories. Sent Jesus, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you, leads to a sent church. You and I at Canloops Alliance Church leads to a sent disciple, you and me now on mission. And folks, the reason why we have this story to tell is because of Jesus. That God in Christ has pursued you with his love, sacrificed himself on the cross, rose Jesus from the dead three days later, and now we are brought into relationship. So Jesus' mission for you was active and not passive. It's often the response to say, oh, it's up to other people. Jesus was not passive when it came to the mission for you. He was active. Jesus' mission for us was not accidental. It was intentional. Folks, the way that we do mission right now is intentional. Think about it. What unique influence do you have? What unique power has been given to you? Who is in your life? You have a phone. You have people. Reach out intentionally. And Jesus' mission for you isn't contractual. Oh, if you do this, I do this. It was covenantal. That the basis of this mission that Jesus has had for you is covenantal. And so it needs to be for us as we reach out to other people. May we be this type of church. And the question that you have to answer this week is, what does it look like for you to be sent? Lord Jesus, thank you for your good news. Lord, thanks for Easter last weekend and the reminder of what this all means. Lord, we are grateful for your pursuing love, that it was not passive, that it was not accidental, that it was not contractual. So we receive that love, Lord, and our job, it is a joy to give that love for the sake of others, to others. Lord, for those of us listening in who are going through it, I want to be so gentle, but I pray for your peace and your activity. I pray that those people would receive a call this week of somebody who cares deeply to listen and to pray. Lord, in this time, I want to look back at this crisis and say, you know what? Kamloops Alliance Church did everything we could to know you and to make you known. And may we be deployed disciples for your glory and for our joy. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.